Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Kay Thompson. Excuse me, this is Kay Thompson Live. Boy, do we have a show for you right now, I'm telling you. First of all, I'm going to be talking to, I'm going to be talking to Rick G from Rick G's Jazz Jam in, you know, in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. He's going to be talking about the Sarasota Jazz Festival coming up. And then I'm going to be talking to Sophia Stewart. Wait until you hear this information, this announcement. It's absolutely fabulous. Foster Care with Sunny Sutherland and Bianca Owens. And after that, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be doing just some other different information we're going to be telling you about next week. We're doing a show regarding bringing in extra income, and you're going to be really surprised and shocked about that. Okay, so let's get right away to the first show. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show, and we do news, information, education, and global communication issues. We get our information from qualified people all around the globe, and I love it. Absolutely love it. And so do we have Rick G on the phone? He's supposed to be calling in right now. Is he on? Okay, Rick, hello. How are you? Rick G, Jazz Jam from Florida. Are you on? Okay, when we get him on, just let me know and we will go right to him because we have a schedule. Anyway, everyone, so we're going to be talking to him about the Jazz Festival. You know, Rick is a, he used to live in the Jersey area, and he is calling in. So he used to live in the Jersey area, and then he moved to Florida, and he is now one of the jazz people in Florida. He has festivals, he has jazz cruises, he has concerts, and he's also teaching courses in jazz, which is absolutely wonderful. So, Rick, if you're listening in, you know, 323-679-0906. That's the number for you to call in, 323-679-0906. Now, we also have Sophia Stewart. And she is going to be coming back. She's back. Let's go with Sophia right now. Sophia, good evening. How are you? Sophia Stewart, are you there?
Kay, I'm here.
Okay, now Rick is here. What happened to you? Were we in?
I've been here, dear. I was listening to you asking for me, but you couldn't hear me. And so I hung up and called back again.
Ah, I see.
I've been waiting for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful because you're right on time. Now, listen, Rick, I was telling people that you have moved to Florida, and now that you're one of the jazz people to see in Florida, and people can get in touch with you by going to Rick G's Jazz Jam, and you spell jazz, J-A-Z-Z, and jam, J-A-M-M, which is really original and unique. Now, what's going on with you with this new jazz festival?
Well, first of all, Kay, I want to make a slight correction. I'm in the Tampa Bay area, St. Petersburg, not Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida. And what we're working on right now is the 33rd Annual Sarasota Jazz Festival, which takes place starting this Sunday.
It's in Sarasota or what?
It's in Sarasota.
Ah, okay.
It's an annual Sarasota Jazz Festival.
Wow.
In Sarasota. And I'm doing the kickoff event, which is called Jazz in the Park. That's on this Sunday, March 3rd.
Wow.
And I've got two bands, the Manatee High School Jazz Orchestra. That's an 18-piece orchestra made up of high school students. And then I've got, as the feature group, is the Kenny Loomer Jazz Quintet. That's with tenor saxophone and trumpet out front with the rhythm section.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, on Tuesday, we've got the J.B. Scott Band out of Jacksonville, Florida. And on Wednesday, we've got what we call a jazz caravan trolley, where we have several trolley cars that depart and run around the city, and they stop at several of our local eateries and clubs, the Flora Bean, the Gator Club, Hotel Indigo, Hyatt Boathouse, the Marina Jacks, Salutes, Salvador's, and the Senior Friendship Center. And we've got each stop, there's a jazz group waiting to play.
Mm-hmm. So each stop, and then you have a schedule for a whole week, is that, or is that for...
Well, no, that's for one night. It's a jazz trolley, mm-hmm. and they just go from club to club. It's a real fun thing. You get a group of your buddies, and you just ride. You go to one club, you listen to the jazz, have a couple of drinks, go outside, hop on the trolley, and go to another club. You do that for with the about seven clubs, the ones uh-huh. I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my big night is on Thursday, March 7th. I've got a friend coming in. His name is Giacomo Gates. He's a vocalist.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but you should have, because he was nominated one of the best vocalists by the Downbeat magazine.
Years ago.
I think that was in 2012, and he was voted a rising star male vocalist in the 2012 Downbeat Critics Poll.
And on that
same night, I'm going to be presenting an award to former Duke Ellington jazz bassist John Lamb. He's going to receive our special award, which is called the Satchmo Award.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't have to tell you who the award was named after. Right?
Yeah.
But this sounds great.
Anybody else? Anyone else?
Oh, yeah. That's Thursday night. And then on Friday, we've got it's an orchestra called the Terry Myers. That's a 17-piece swing band.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to do a tribute to Benny Goodman. And then on Saturday, I've got... somebody who you know from back in the day, the Four Freshmen.
Speak for yourself. I don't know about them.
What's that? Well, the Four Freshmen.
But is that it? Is that the whole schedule?
Well, that's it. Right. That's the complete week.
Yeah, it sounds
from Sunday until Saturday. From Sunday until Saturday.
Now, also, I understand that you've been teaching jazz.
Right.
About jazz. How is that going?
Well, that's fantastic. It's been going fantastic. I just finished my first class.
Yeah.
It was a 6-week program, one night a week, 2 hours a class.
Uh-huh.
And my program is called Jazz in Class.
Uh-huh.
And I formed, I don't know if I told you about this during our many conversations over the phone, but I formed another corporation called Rick G's Jazz Jam Institute for Jazz Learning.
Tell me. Okay.
Yeah.
Rick G's Jazz Jam Institute. Okay.
Right. And under this, I have a program, Jazz in Class, and I was asked to do a class over at the Carol Wood Cultural Center in Tampa.
I see.
And so I did that.
Before you go on with the classes, too, now, also, you've been doing jazz events on, you know, events by cruises.
Yeah, I promote jazz concerts in the first Sunday in May. I do a big jazz cruise.
And the reason why I want to bring this out, Rick, is because of the fact that a lot of our friends, you know, have sort of gravitated to, you know, different parts of Florida also. So
right.
Know about what you've been doing. As a matter of fact, when you were in Jersey, you were putting on a jazz event at mainly, I think, at one of the Y's, the big Y's in West Orange. Am I correct?
Right, at the JCC in West Orange. I also did it at the Newark Priory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did something over in New York, Tappan Zee, not the Tappan Zee Bridge, but Tarrytown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And So I did that promotion in New Jersey, New York for about 3.5 years, and then I decided to move down south to Paradise.
Okay, I get that message loud and clear. Well, anyway, Rick, how can people get in touch with you? Just give us that real fast.
Well, first of all, my email address is jazzjamm, jazzjamm@aol.com.
Uh-huh.
And my website is Rick G's Jazz Jam. That's RickGees.
I love it.
JazzJamm.com.
Got that.
Right.
Okay, good luck with it, and I will talk to you again at another time. Thank you very much for sharing that. And really,
okay.
I want to hear again later on about how your jazz in classes, how are the high school kids, and we'll do this at another time, how are the high school kids responding to jazz, if there is still an interest in jazz other than by the musicians and whatnot.
You just let me know, and I appreciate you having me on, Kay.
Okay. And thank you very much. And I should tell people, too, at Bethany Baptist Church in Newark, with Reverend Bill Howard over there, they have a jazz session, I think on Saturdays, if I'm not mistaken. Really fantastic stuff. And then Dorothy and Kirk, you know, with WBGO. You know, she is also having a jazz luncheon, I think, different jazz luncheons at New Jersey Performing Arts Center in one of the rooms there. I'll find out more about that, and we're going to have Dorothy on and let you know. But right now, we want to see if we can get to, for this big, big announcement, if Sophia, and I know Sophia Stewart is on. You may remember the story of Sophia Stewart, and she is the owner of and the copyright owner of Matrix and Terminator. And we have a very important, a big announcement. I mean, I was very excited when you told me about it the other day, Sophia. So welcome on Scan and K Thompson Live, Sophia Stewart.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Glad to be here. Yeah, I'm
congratulations
glad. A lot of people,
to you.
Yeah, I have gotten a lot of congratulations. People see the Terminator copyrights, and they know I've had the Matrix copyrights for a while now. I think for over a year.
And you had copyright infringement. Someone in Hollywood or a few people had stolen your work.
Yes, I kept telling people that that Warner Brothers and the Wachowskis lost the 2004 case. I keep repeating that over and over, that the media and Warner Brothers and the Wachowskis did a cover-up. They never answered the amended complaint. They lost the 2004 case. Now, the Terminator defendants, the case was adjudicated with them because my own former attorneys, four of them, did not put in any discovery, did not address the admissions, did not put in the evidence or the movie so I could get relief. What happened was,
Let's repeat something for just a short period of time. Now, you sued a whole lot of different people because of what? Because you've been winning all these cases. You won in federal court. So you've been winning the cases. You've been suing. Now, how long has this suit been going on?
This has actually been going on since 2004.
Wow.
People are very confused. They keep going back to 1984 with the Terminator, and I have no idea of nothing about 1984. So I have not been fighting any case for no 20 some or 30 years. I didn't even know anything about the theft until 1999, and I went to the FBI June the 10th, 1999. They started investigating. They came back in 2001. And told me not only did I write The Matrix, but I was also the writer of The Terminator. And they gave me the proof, and I filed a lawsuit in 2003, but it didn't come to fruition until 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead attorney was Jonathan LaBelle, was no attorney. He had gotten disbarred in 1993. He didn't have a license to practice law anywhere. And the other three lawyers came under his fraudulent contract. And they knew he did not have a license. And, of course, all four of them were sent by Warner Brothers to sabotage the case
mm-hmm.
because they had a RICO.
Okay, but then after,
Let's
jump a little bit ahead because we went over this, but I just want to get to this important announcement that you had. You know, what happened? You called me the other day, and you were very excited, and we were very excited. Okay, so tell us about that.
Sophia,
I'm told that we do have to take a break, and we will be right back with that. So, you know, 1 minute. So just stay with us, okay, for the important announcement.
All right. Okay.
Be right back, everyone. K Thompson Live.
Hey, folks, it's Ayanna Jones from the GoPro Radio Network with a special announcement. Tomorrow, February 28th at 6 p.m., join Milton Alamadi of the Black Star News at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn for Blackout, the Disappearance of Blacks in Media and Black Ownership, a really fantastic panel discussion that talks about what exactly happened to black voices, not only in movies and music, but also in the media. The scarcity of black ownership in television, radio, and print has diminished the voices of blacks and has created and perpetuated negative representations and portrayals of people of color. In this panel discussion, communications and media experts and students will discuss the impact of these trends and pose recommendations for addressing this absence and those portrayals. So once again, that's tomorrow, Thursday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Medgar Evers College. Join Milton Alamadi of the Black Star News for this really important discussion on the disappearance of blacks in media and black ownership. And now, without further ado, let's turn it back to Kate Thompson Live, only on the GoPro Radio Network.
Okay, and thank you. Thank you, Ayanna. And that's very exciting. You know, I really would like to make that myself. Milton Alamadi and the disappearance of black radio, I'm telling you, it has disappeared, and we're trying to bring it back, and we're using the internet, and we're using a number of other different methods of getting information from our community into the general community, into the wider community. As a matter of fact, since this is internet radio, everyone, not only are we heard locally and nationally, but we're heard globally. We are actually heard globally, which is very, very exciting. And right now, I want to see if Sunny Sutherland is in the studio also. We're going to be talking again to Sophia Stewart. Sophia, are you there?
Sophia? Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Now, tell us about the latest thing, the announcement.
Well, the latest announcement is that I won $150 million December the 4th, 2012, against Jonathan Favelle.
Say that again. Say that.
$150 million.
Sophia, say that again. You did what? You won what?
I won $150 million-plus judgment against Jonathan LaBelle on December the 4th, 2012, which damages can exceed up to $1.8 billion.
Billion?
And I'm the official owner of the Matrix and Terminator franchises. I have both copyrights to the derivatives. And so now, if they want to do a Matrix or Terminator movie, all the production companies and studios would have to come to me to option or to buy.
Wow.
Matrix.
Now, you did say billion, as in B, as in boy, right?
That's right, billion. It could exceed up to $1.8 billion. It's
now,
treble the damage.
Go ahead.
Because it's criminal fraud. It also overturns the Terminator defendant's judgment.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan LaBelle committed fraud in the 2004 California case.
Wow.
And that automatically overturns that adjudicated part of the case with the Terminator defendants.
How do you feel right now?
I feel great and vindicated.
Yeah.
Very much. And the money that's owed me is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
and it was a long fight, but I'm going to tell you like Thomas Jefferson said, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, and then you win. Thomas, and he's right.
This is so
that's
exciting.
Exactly what happens.
I am so glad that you're announcing it on our show. That means a lot. There are a lot of people who didn't really believe that you wrote it.
I know. There's a lot of haters, a lot of naysayers, a lot of doubters, people who didn't understand black history, people who didn't understand their own black history.
Mm-hmm.
It's a federal mandate that all schools get black history.
Mm-hmm.
The white schools have resisted that. They're the only ones that are not obeying the law. The black schools are entering black history incorporating black history into their curriculums. And a lot of teachers have taught about me, have taught their students. How do I know? Because a lot of students have emailed me, called me, and told me. So when you see Matrix and Terminator and you don't recognize the blackness of it, then that means you don't understand black history or your roots.
Yeah. I want to tell people, too, that you can get in touch with Sophia. You can email her, and you can get on her website. I'm going to ask you to give that out in a minute, Sophia. But I would like it if everybody would just make a comment to her, because she has been really ridiculed and really talked very badly about. And, you know, you want to give her a lot of courage, you know, and a lot of strength because of the fact that she has won her case. This African-American woman has won her case. She sued. She was persistent. And, you know, and think, this is powerful. This is really powerful because of the fact that she said, you will not steal from me. I am the original owner of these stories, and they're mine. Stay with us, Sophia. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Sophia. So when did you find out? I know you called me, what, day before yesterday. When did you find out?
Let me tell you, Ripley's Believe It or Not World Book of Guinness, I'm pretty sure I've got the copyright the quickest out of anybody receiving a copyright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I filed for the Terminator copyright on February the 7th, and I received it. I mean, it was effective February the 8th. If anybody are looking at the copyright to the Terminator, they'll see that.
Okay.
And I got it out of the mail on the 25th of this month, February 25th. And usually it takes anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks and sometimes up to 4 to 8 weeks to receive copyrights.
I see.
And the physical copyrights. And I got them immediately, less than 2 weeks.
All right.
But I got the effectiveness, the as soon as I send it in the next day, which is unheard of, and one day, it's unheard of.
Okay. Congratulations.
Totally unheard of.
We have someone who wants to talk to you. Let's go to the caller. You're on the air. we have a caller. Is that caller on the air? Is the caller on the air? You're calling from a 201 area code. Hello? Are you on the air? All right, we'll come back to that person if they are going to be hanging in there. But anyway, Sophia, how do you feel? How do you feel right now? Do you really feel?
I feel very ecstatic. I was talking to my family earlier today, and I told them they were very happy, very excited. A lot of people need to go to my website, matrixterminator.com. Two words, matrixterminator.com. And my other one, the official truthaboutmatrix.com. And start buying the books because they're memorabilia. The Matrix and Terminator franchises belong to me. I copyrighted the derivatives, and the government has sided with me. The franchise belongs to me.
Okay. Now, listen, everyone. You can go to Matrix, M as in Mary, A, T as in Tom, R-I-X, Terminator, T-E-R-M-I-N-A, T-O-R, is that correct?
That's correct. MatrixTerminator.com.
MatrixTerminator.com. And you can also go to your other site, which is?
TruthAboutMatrix.com. TruthAboutMatrix.com.
Matrix.com.
TruthAboutMatrix.com.
And what will they find?
They will definitely find my book. Definitely find. I'm going to be putting up those copyrights. Part of the copyrights are up on truthaboutmatrix.com, but I'm going to put the Terminator and I'm going to put the judgment so everybody can see that it is not an urban legend. It is not a mythology. It's not a hoax and all this other ridiculous stuff that's been put on for the website and all over different media news and so forth. It's a real judgment, and the media needs to cover it because I won $150 million plus.
Whoa. Congratulations.
They need to cover that. It needs to be in all the media and all the news because it happened.
Well, if anyone wants to call and talk to Sophia right now, you can call this number, the 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906, just in case you want to call her and say congratulations.
Yeah, I got a lot of congratulations.
Okay,
I got
the caller. Hold on.
Right.
Caller. You're on the air. Is someone?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm calling to make a comment about Sophia.
Go right ahead.
I am so Hey, Auntie Kay, this is Ida.
Hi, Ida. Okay, go ahead.
I am so impressed and just amazed that she made this, she wrote the script to this movie. And how does she get these ideas to make this movie?
Ask her.
Hi, Sophia.
Well, yes, I'm right here. How you doing? I'm a gifted visionary seer, but I also have a degree in journalism and double majors in law and psychology. I went to USC Film School. So I have a gift in writing. I've been writing since I was in the seventh grade and doing taxes when I was 11 years old and so forth. So, and I scored a 98 on the IRS exam. So I'm just a person that gifted before my time, just like H.G. Wells or like Leonardo da Vinci, those type of people.
Uh-huh.
So when you see Matrix and Terminator, Sarah Connor is Neo's mother. The Terminator is a naked microchip cyborg, naked without shame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at the future, and I'm talking about barcodes, scanners, computerized warfare with the drones, and virtue penal systems.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's coming.
All your ideas.
Very much. All of my ideas, the Wachowskis and James Cameron and Warner Brothers and Gail and her did not write anything. The only dream Cameron had was the dream that he's having now, a nightmare, lawsuit.
We
wow.
have a caller. Wayne Gilman is on the air. Thank you, Ida, for calling. Wayne Gilman is calling. Wayne? Oh, Wayne is here. Wayne is here. And Sonny Sutherland, is he here yet? We're also waiting to hear from Bianca Owens. So we are going to take a break. Can we take a short break and so these people can come into the studio, Shauna? Yes? Okay. I mean, this is really very exciting. We're all excited here at the studio. As you heard, Sophia Stewart has won her case. And it took her a long time, and she is persistent. She is amazing. She is amazingly bright. So no one can use her stories again. Now, she also told me that she is going, when is Matrix 4 coming out? Is it out yet or what?
No, it's not coming out, but I'm talking to some people about Matrix 4 and 5. So now they have to buy it or option it from me. And I want anybody who wants a copy of that judgment, who are doubters and haters and naysayers and can't believe it, please go to my website, matrixterminator.com, and contact me. Go to my truthaboutmatrix.com and get my email. Email me, and I'll send you a copy so you can post it on all the social networks.
Great.
And you can take it in to schools for Women's Month next month. March is going to be Women's Month. This is still Black History Month, of course, but, we only have a day left. But still, if you want to, you can take it and show it to the classroom.
Okay.
It's something to talk about.
Okay.
Something for everybody to know.
Yeah, Sophia, this has been absolutely great. Thank you for announcing on Kay Thompson Live. We will be checking with you. We're going to be getting weekly updates to find out exactly what's going on. Thank you. Congratulations. We will talk again to Sophia. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody, it's Ayanna Jones from the GoPro Radio Network again with another special announcement. On Saturday, March 9th at 7:30 p.m., join me and other literary artists for a New Jersey Literary Artists Fellowship Showcase taking place at Playwrights Theater at Miles Square. That's at 720 Monroe Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Suggested donation is $10, and students get in for $5. The performances are of works by writers who received prestigious New Jersey State Council on the Arts fellowships, like me, in poetry, prose, and playwriting. This set features prose writers with ties to Hudson County. Again, that's New Jersey Literary Artists Fellowship Showcase at the Playwrights Theater at Miles Square on March 9th at 7:30 p.m. I'll be reading from my work, and you'll also hear some work from some other talented artists. So if you have any other questions and you want to get more information, you can email us at info@goproradio.com. And now, without further ado, let's turn it back to Kay Thompson with Kay Thompson Live, only on the GoPro Radio Network.
Sunny. Okay, we are back, everyone. And we are back. And Wayne Gilbert is here. Hi, Wayne, how are you? Where have you been? Did you just hear? Sophia Stewart won.
Wait. Come again?
She won.
Oh, she won a lawsuit.
$1 billion.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's
is that
great.
Amazing?
That's great.
Yeah.
So there is justice in
there
the world.
Is justice. So she made the announcement here. And she told me about it when it happened and yelling and screaming.
Wow.
We were doing it. It was just so wonderful.
That's good to
you
hear.
Know? Yeah.
Well,
so,
her story should still be told.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
No reason
oh,
for
it's going to be told. It's going
to
be
carry
told.
On, you know. I mean, yeah. But that's what most of these influential people with money,
uh-huh.
that's what they like to do.
We were going to be talking to Sonny. Mm-hmm. About who is the founder of the People's Advocacy, as you
mm-hmm.
know, dealing with foster care. But Sonny is not going to be on because his mom is ill.
I'm very sorry to hear
okay,
that.
Okay, so, you know, we were all going to be doing this, but we have got to not do it. But we do have on Bianca Owens, and Bianca is a, let me just tell you a little bit about Bianca. Are you there, Bianca?
Yes, I am here. Good evening.
Okay, good evening. How are you?
I am well, thank you. What a phenomenal story I just heard.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Sophia.
Yeah, congratulations to Sophia. I'm telling you, Wayne Gilman is here. He was the former news director of WLIB. We've been knowing each other for a long period of time, and he certainly knows about foster care.
Right, right.
Now,
I actually have a foster son. Listen to me, son.
Uh-huh.
My brother. I wish I had a foster son.
Yeah. Let me tell you who Bianca is. You know, she's the registrar of the School of Health and Related Professions, and that's at the school and at the School of Nursing at UMDNJ in New Jersey. She is an instructor of psychology at Berklee College. She is a volunteer court-appointed person dealing with DIFAS issues. Is that true, Bianca?
Yes, that is correct.
I can't even read my own writing.
Yeah, so that is a court-appointed special advocate.
Court.
So I advocate on behalf of children in the foster care system.
Yeah. And she was also a foster care mother, and also she was also in foster care.
Oh.
So, and she's an advocate for children, and she's on the board of a member of the United Nations for United Women. Is that the right title?
That is correct.
All right. Would you say that for me? Because I can't read my own writing.
That is the board of the United Nations for Women for Social Change.
Okay. All right. Okay. Did you know that I was with the United Nations Press Corps?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
How long ago? I mean, a while back.
Listen, watch it. Anyway, Bianca, so tell us, how did you happen to feel so strongly about, you know, foster care?
Well, I guess we can start with the story of a foster child, myself, wanting and having this longing to actually give back to a system that gave so much to me. There are so many different ills in the system and so many different things that need to be brought to the attention, so many children who are abused in the system, and I felt that it was my duty as a foster child, and as a woman of color, to give back to many of these children who happen to be of color,
uh-huh.
Who are in the system.
Uh-huh. And? Hello? Did we lose her?
No, I think she's still there.
Yeah.
You know, can
Bianca, are
you
still there? No, I think we lost the call. We have a caller. We'll have to get Bianca back.
I just want to interject for a second. I've always disliked the terminology foster care.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a stigma associated
yeah.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And having had a young brother who, thank God, my parents were sensitive enough to bring someone into the home. I mean, there were five of us all together, but, you know, after a while, he became a member of the family.
Yeah.
And we treat him no different this day as we did the first day we met.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope, you know, the same way we've become politically correct about a number of different terms as we've gotten older as a country and matured as a nation, I'd like to think, although sometimes when I watch the Republican Party, I kind of question whether or not if there's any maturity at all. But I'd like to think that we could just get away from use of that term, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how else to, you know, maybe Bianca may have a better description.
Yeah, I don't know if she's still on the line. Is she still on the line?
I'm here now. Hello?
Having a little difficulty here. Bianca, did you hear what Wayne was saying?
No, I did not.
What were you saying?
No, I was just saying that I dislike the terminology foster, and it just to have a negative connotation and stigma associated with it. And I understand that perhaps I haven't found a politically correct way of saying it,
yeah.
But as I said in reference to my brother, thank God my parents 40 years ago brought this child into our fold. There are five of us all together, and I see him no different than I see, I wouldn't go as far as saying what I was about to say in terms of trusting him more than I trust my own siblings, but it's come to that from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I believe that just the term foster just is so temporary. And
yeah.
These
yeah,
children,
exactly.
They need that permanency. And, you know, many of them are over the age of 9 and 10, which are considered the unadoptable ages. And it's very difficult to find placement. So we think about the permanency of the children. So I could not agree more with the word foster.
Now, how long were you in the care?
I was actually in foster care for almost 6 years.
6 years?
Before I actually went with my my maternal grandmother. Yeah.
Oh. Mm. So you were able. You did you know your mother? I'm sorry.
I did know of her. So she was off and on and in my life. I finally was able to connect with her when I was 17 years old. Unfortunately, I lost her due to a number of things, but I lost her most recently a year ago.
Yeah.
Mm, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What do you want people to know about quote-unquote foster care?
I would like people to know that this is an untapped area that needs help. We have so many different children. There are about 650,000 children that are in the foster care system who are in need of help, who need loving homes. And I believe that when we consider the word foster parents, many of us think of people who are just out for the money or looking for another means of income. And this could be, you know, further from the truth, at least that's from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I, we open our homes, we open our hearts, and you know, there are many people out there, like my husband and I, who want to give children a loving home and a place to just call home and a mom and dad to be there for them.
Yeah.
So there are a number of issues. I believe as a foster parent, as we use that word, foster, you know, the rights of foster parents, we don't have any rights. So it's very difficult for us to advocate on behalf of a child that we have in placement when we don't have any rights to these children until they are legally, you know, the parents' rights are terminated.
How did you adjust to that, you know, during the time that you were in foster care?
Well, it was difficult and interesting at the same time. My recollection
In other words, were you in one particular home or what?
Yes, I was in one particular home until my grandmother was able to get me to come back to New Jersey. I was actually in Ohio in a foster home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was brought to New Jersey at around almost 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. And how did it happen that you were in the foster care home initially anyway?
Well, my mother's lifestyle in Ohio was not the best, obviously, and I was left in a motel room, and I was seized from the motel room by law officers and brought to, obviously, a foster home or a permanent placement at that time period. The laws were quite different back then, and perhaps if they had permanency laws back then, maybe I would have been adopted out, but I wasn't. And my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was able to locate me through an older sibling who had recently been placed with her, and we were able to reunite at that point.
Were you able to heal your relationship with your mom before her passing?
Yes, I was. It was one that was strained, but, you know, it was up to us, and it's all together seven of us, so she had many children, not just me. So there were seven children, and every single one of us were displaced, meaning not with her, you know, some with our father, some with foster care. Some of my siblings were actually adopted out by non-relatives, so... before she passed, we actually had a family reunion maybe 3 years prior, which we were able to sit down and talk with her and really have those difficult questions, you know, answered. How
right.
come? Why? You know, help us understand. So, you know, she really, one message that we came away with is, although this was my lifestyle, please don't ever forget that I did love you. And I loved you so much to give you to someone else who could take care of you.
Was that answer enough for you or what?
For me, yes. For some of my siblings, no. For me, understanding what I know about the disease of addiction and her lifestyle, it makes sense for me. But that's me, and I choose to handle things differently. My siblings, they take a different approach. But again, with the disease of addiction and her lifestyle that she was living at the time, there was no possible way for her to care for me when she could not care for herself.
And you say you were 6 years of age when this occurred, right?
Yes, sir.
And so obviously I'm assuming that your siblings are older, most of them?
No. I'm actually the second in line.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
yes. There must have been some sort of mental adjustment that you had to go through. I mean, needless to say, rebellion, you know, based on what you were subjected to at that age.
Absolutely. There was a number of things. You know, you consider the lifestyle and the odds that are against you. You know, society would have looked at me as a child that probably shouldn't have made it. But nonetheless, I did, you know, with the grace of God and, you know, with a very a grounded background in my faith. Yes, I was able to pull through it and take on two of my siblings to raise as my own. So
wow.
I was able to reach back to care for two of my other siblings.
Was that when you were in high school?
That's when I first graduated college.
When you first graduated college. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I took on my 13-year-old and my 16-year-old sister.
Was that difficult for you?
Was it difficult? Is it understatement? It's a complete understatement. Raising teenagers and being forced to have your own apartment, and right out of college, when I wanted to live a life of a 22-year-old, I couldn't do that. I had to live a life of a mother of teenagers. So it was very difficult for me at that time. But I'm happy I did it. You know, both girls are doing very well. One is a college graduate. One is a mother of another child and is doing well in her career. So I'm glad I did it. Do I regret it? No. Would I like to change some decisions I've made? Sure, but everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. I want you to come on again. Okay, we want to do another show, and we're going to do that program where Sunny is fine, Sunny Sutherland.
Right, right.
And we'd like to invite you to come back during that particular time. There's more to the story, I know, and you know, so we will talk.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll get together and talk. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Bianca.
God bless
you. She's pretty.
Yeah. And it's pretty. Just sad when stories like this, you know. Mm-hmm. So familiar, too, about the same.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen stuff like this on television recently, but, you know, there's so many kids out here who fall through the cracks, and just yesterday.
But she held the family together.
Together,
she
that's
helped,
it. I mean, that's,
you know, that's
just commendable
amazing,
effort, right?
Absolutely amazing.
But there's so many who just don't even have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think of this poor woman, 52 years of age, in the Bronx, in Melrose. I don't know if you heard.
No.
She her a mother, parts dismembered, her I'm assuming allegedly her son, who had a problem, criminal background.
Yeah, we just heard about that.
Yeah, you know, chopped his mother up in anger, you know. You kind of wonder, well, what could be so bad that you would actually want to take someone's life and, you know.
But I want to say officially, I don't know if Bianca is still on, but anyway, thank her for calling and being on the program, and we'll delve into this a little more, a whole lot more, as a matter of fact.
Right. You are doing extremely well from what I see on the board out there.
What? Yeah, the numbers and
the
callers.
Yeah,
the
numbers, I tell you.
Yeah, Bianca's still on. Bianca? Okay. Bianca?
Yes?
Tell me about the United Nations, you know, program that you're into, that you're involved with, that group.
The United Nations for Women for Social Change. It's actually an organization that...
Women for...
Hello?
The United Nations for Women for Social Change?
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually a board that wishes to bring awareness for domestic violence as well as a number of issues that are affecting women of color.
Uh-huh. And?
And, you know, we do a number of fundraisers. We do a number of different
venues
of talks and different workshops. For domestic violence, and we raise different money to send for children in Africa who don't necessarily have the means for educational services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to want to hear more about that also, because we have several contacts in several African countries that I'd like to put you in touch with. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that is perfect. That is perfect.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Wow. You know, things that you learn that you don't know about, you know?
Right.
But anyway, you were saying.
Oh, no, I was just commending you for what I was reading.
And I know it's crazy for me to fit all this in. I talked to Rick G. for Rick G's Jazz Jam down in, he's in Fort Lauderdale or Sarasota. And we're going to go right back, and I'll talk more because they tell me to go for a break.
For
a break, everyone. Stay with us. Kay Thompson Live. Boy, be right back.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.GoProRadio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
Okay, we're back. Kay Thompson here on Kay Thompson Live. And I was telling Wayne Gilman, who just happened to come in here, which is absolutely fantastic. Really glad to have you.
I'm glad to be
Wayne
back.
Gilman,
I wish I could do more. I'm itching.
I know,
you know.
I know.
These kids
we've been
are
doing.
Me now. I got to get out of it.
Yeah. We've been doing some dynamite stories and whatnot, you know. And of course, you know that, you know, during the time that Gus passed, you know, that things were.
Right,
you know,
I
really
know.
Very upsetting and whatnot.
Now.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
have the strength and God's with you. And I know whose presence is still here.
Yeah, always. He tells me when I'm doing something wrong.
You've already started, Kay? Excuse me.
No, his presence is you know, powerful.
Yeah,
it really, really
I know.
Is. So we had such fun together. You know, he was, we were very silly at times, you know, more so than not. So we you know, we
I
had a good relationship.
Still, you know?
I know, it's
I
really rough,
it,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, but that's just how life is. I've had to bury a few in the last couple of months,
yeah.
and it's just amazing.
And my sister passed, you know, not too long ago.
Right,
and, you know, so,
and
the girlfriend, yeah, this has been some year. But, you know, you go through it, and other people go through even worse things.
Right, that's true.
But anyway, we will continue doing what we were doing. But about, I'm practically blabbering because of the fact that I still can't get over the fact that Sophia Stewart won her case.
Yeah.
She won her. Well, you know, I've seen the legal stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, she would sell, and it's on her website.
Right.
It's on, you know, what the truth about the Matrix that she told but tells us about. Here it is right here. MatrixandTerminator.com. So make sure that those of you who really want to find out more of the story about Sophia Stewart, go to MatrixandTerminator.com. Also go to Truth About Matrix. And that's, I think that's also .com. But it's going to be easy because if you just, you know, if you just type in or even go Google Sophia Stewart, you will get all that information. Her name is Sophia Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. She has won her case. And by the way, she was on the red carpet, she told me, along with Joe Jackson.
On the Oscars?
Yes.
I was just going to ask you, yeah.
And she says that the Jacksons were the ones who encouraged her to write her story.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was also in touch, I think, with the Jackson family, the, you know, Jesse Jackson's family out there in, you know, where is it, Chicago,
Chicago,
right?
Yeah. That's another story by itself. I don't know if you had a chance to touch on that.
No, I haven't talked about that, but we can talk about that right now. What was, now let's go to, you know, young Jackson, who was a... in politics, and he was on a meteorite
Heading
what
to
was
the
thinking
I have
of?
No idea, you know.
God,
I wonder,
because
I mean the thing is that, and I don't want to assign blame totally to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his wife also has been brought up on charges as well.
I know,
and you never know. I mean, sometimes you know, people can be influenced to do
things.
And
then
you
just sometimes you get off. You know, off balance.
Yeah, but I mean, he's
bit.
So bright. And you know, the thing is, a lot of people are using this bipolar issue as a backdrop.
Yeah.
But I just wonder. I mean, I've known some people who've suffered from that, but they're competent enough to understand right from wrong. And if they know they're doing wrong, I guess everybody's different.
Yeah.
But they made such a major medical orchestration about what he was going through just prior to this coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just blows me away. When I heard what he was charged with, it was astounding.
Yeah, and then the amount of money that they spent, you know, they pled guilty. They intended to plead guilty on federal charges, alleging that he misused $750,000 in campaign funds.
That's over $500,000.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, you know, he was a Democrat from Chicago, and he was charged in a criminal information case. That was Friday with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, mail fraud, and false statements. Come on, he faces up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000 and other penalties.
And here's a guy, if memory serves, he has a law license. He's passed the bar in Illinois. I mean, the thing is, that's all going to be affected now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, we had at one time a very close professional relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you did many shows with Jesse Senior and myself. You know, we covered the 1988 campaign for the presidency.
That's right.
And, you know, to see what goes on now, I could only imagine, you know, the kind of gut-wrenching emotional pain and embarrassment he must be suffering.
As a matter of fact, there is a reception for the memorial, a memorial reception, I think, for Gil Noble coming up.
Oh, really?
And, somebody had sent me an email, but I forgot to bring it. But, you know, I remember when I interviewed Gil Noble and Gus Henningberg on the same show together. This is the only one that they've done.
Wow.
On the same show together when I was on Channel 47, Canal 47, Spanish TV. Not Spanish. Don't speak Spanish. But I have one of the only English-speaking show on Canal 47. And this was during the time when Jesse Jackson made the Hymietown remark.
Oh.
So, and I had a live audience, so that was the first time that I had a live audience there. And it was really quite, it was a part one and a part two. So what I'm going to do is make a lot of the tapes, not tapes, but shows, because I had them transferred to, you know, DVDs, make them available to the public finally.
Right.
Especially an interview that I did a long time with Gus, when we had first met, when he was a... he was working. This was after his.
Positively Black.
No, this was before Positively Black. You know, and he was. God, what was he doing at that time? Oh, the airport thing.
Oh right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
you know.
He always talked about that story.
And then he was the one who also got president of Essex County College, Zach Yamba, you know, to be the president.
Mm.
And Yamba was going to be going back to, I think it was Nigeria, to be in some official capacity, but he stayed and, was the president of Essex County College. We have 2 minutes to the show, Ben.
I tell you.
You know, so you're going to be here next week?
Yeah, I'd like to. I tell you, I'd live here if I could afford it.
Congratulations to Sophia Stewart. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear about
that. And thank you, Bianca Owens. And thanks, Shauna. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Ayana. Thanks, Byron. Thanks. Where is Ty? It's time in a lot of meetings. We have to go back there and, check with him about things. But we're going to make all this stuff available.
Right. Well, I tell you, this is such a beautiful operation.
I tell you.
But so many venues in which you can go to.
But I'm so excited tonight. I can barely talk.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's a wonder I'm making sense at all. God,
right.
I can't get over it.
No, but that's good. And it just goes to show when you're in the right, you should always fight.
That's right. And she is a very powerful woman. I'm talking about Sophia Stewart. She hung in there. She hung in there, and here is a woman that for us to look up to, and admire, and hang right in there with her. Because she told the truth.
She's
not
going
to have any problem paying them, so who cares? Okay, I think we're at the end of Kay Thomason Live, and we'll be back again Wednesday with another dynamic show. As a matter of fact, different ways to make extra income. Wait until you hear these programs that I'm involved with.
Oh, very good.
5 links. What is it? Global Link. Oh, boy. 5links.com. And I'm Kay Thompson. And there's another thing. Legal Shield, of course, is doing quite well.
Very good. This is
extra income.
Wow.
But the 5 links, you won't believe this. Talk to you later, everyone. Join me next Wednesday. I'm Kay Thompson. Kay Thompson Live. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, Kay.
Yeah.
Okay.